Hi, welcome to another inspirational message by Pastor Alex Pappas, Senior Pastor at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
This was an interesting week for me when it comes to preparing for this Sunday. I've been preparing this message for some time now, kind of with a theme that God has given me for the church for right now. And I'm kind of excited about it, but it was a bit of a struggle because as much as I'm excited about it, God's timing is always perfect and I release certain things, and anyway, this is what God wants me to give you. Amen. So everybody say, amen. Amen. Well, that was great. I didn't even have to say it. Amen. So we're going to start out in Hebrews 6, verse number 1. Hebrews 6, verse number 1. Therefore, this is out of the New King James Version. New King James Version. Therefore, leaving the discussion of elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, of laying on of hands, of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. Amen. Amen. I'm ringing in my ears. Amen. But we still love Victor. Amen. Can we all say, we love you, Victor? Amen. All right. So we're going to get into this morning. And, you know, let me just start by saying this. This scripture is actually very important for where we are right now. Because even though what we're going to be discussing is actually elementary principles, and the Greek word for elementary is arches, which means the original or the early or from the beginning. In other words, it's basically suggesting that these are the ABCs of Christianity. These are the things that you should learn right in the beginning. These are the things that are kind of like the fundamental truths that should set you up for your Christian walk. Unfortunately, some of us have been in church for 20, 30, 40 years, some 5 years, some 6 months. I don't know where you are in your walk, but a lot of these things haven't even been discussed. Now, I'm not going to get into all of it this morning, but let me just start by the doctrine of baptisms. The doctrine of baptisms. Plural. I'm not even going to go there. Amen. But that is something that needs to be discussed and understood by the church. There's only one baptism, the baptism of Jesus Christ. Amen. But how many of you know there are different baptisms? The baptism of water, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If you need to learn about this, please, we're doing E1 in July. E1 is our first equipping course here at the church. We recommend everybody sign up for it. And one of the subjects that we cover is the baptism of the Spirit. We go into it like in depth. See, it's an elementary doctrine, so I like to discuss it right in the beginning. So it's a new believers course, or if you're new to the church, it's a course I recommend you take. Even if you've been saved a long time, even if you understand the baptism of the Spirit, come. I learn something new every time. I enjoy it. I love it so much. I teach that course. I enjoy it so much. But that's just one example. Another example is another very misunderstood doctrine in the church, which is the laying on of hands. Most churches today don't lay on hands, but it's a doctrine. In other words, there's a place for it in the church. The problem is it's misunderstood on both sides. Because the laying on of hands is for spiritual gifts, it's for impartation, it's for prayer for healing and other stuff. But as you can see, there is an impartation that takes place with the laying on of hands. So therefore, there's responsibility that comes with the laying on of hands. And so here at Oceans, we take that very seriously. Don't just let anyone walk up to you and lay hands on you if you don't know who they are. Because there's impartation. Now, I've preached a whole sermon on it, but maybe I'll do it again. We did it right in the beginning. Amen. I'm a little bit cleverer now. Come on, guys. I'm just kidding. Amen. But I would love to teach it again because there's more. God gives us more. As we study the word and we go deeper, the Lord reveals more to us. Amen. So I want to get more into it. The resurrection of the dead, eternal judgment. But what I want to talk about this morning is the foundation of repentance. The foundation of repentance. And as you know, over the last few weeks, I've been bringing repentance into every sermon almost because of how important it is right now where we are. We know that in the last days, the Bible speaks about the last days that there will be a coming, you know, people will be coming back to God. There will be a heart of repentance. In the last days, the spirit of Elijah will come. Amen. We see when Jesus came, that John the Baptist came preparing the way. And his message was a message of repentance and a message of the kingdom. And we're going to talk a little bit about that this morning. We also see that when they discuss the last of the last days, it's the same message. We also see a restoration taking place of the hearts of the children to the fathers and the fathers to the children. So we see some very basic but important principles that need to be restored in the house of the Lord. Order, a word people don't like anymore. Discipline, words we don't like anymore. Because we just want to do what we want to do. Go read Corinthians. Jesus never, and Paul never said to the Corinthians church that they were evil. He said, you lack no spiritual gift. In other words, they were operating with great revelation and great stuff, but their expression wasn't right. They were operating out of order. And he wanted to bring order back. Why? So we can protect the flock. Listen, Jesus left the 99 for the one. So you are important to God. The one. Amen. So in our expression and our desire to bring to fulfillment and to the fullness of what God has for us as believers, that doesn't mean we must do it out of order. Amen. Thank you. So let's take a look at it this morning because repentance is so important. What is repentance not? Repentance is not a get out of jail free card. The evidence of true repentance is change and transformation. The first time we see the word in the New Testament, we see it in Matthew 3, verses 1 to 2. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. This was John the Baptist's primary message. Jesus preached the same message when he started his ministry. In Matthew 4, 17, we see from that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, Matthew 4, 17, from that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Two things, repent and the kingdom. Two principles that we see. We see John the Baptist coming, who represents a preparation for the coming of Christ, who has the same message. Repent, because the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God is at hand. Listen, this is so important. Right now in the church, this is so important because God is wanting the church to do those two things. To repent, number one. Listen, repentance does not only take place the day you get saved. That is called being saved. Amen. Repentance is a constant thing. Yes. Well, I only have to repent once. No, you don't. Amen. You have to repent every time you mess up. Amen. That doesn't mean you must beat yourself up. That means that you must turn from it. We'll get into it. Amen. Are you guys okay? We're going to get into this morning. We see when Peter stands up and he preaches for the first time in the book of Acts, once the Holy Spirit has come upon him, we see him preach the same message in Acts 2, verse 38. Acts 2, verse 38. There we go. Then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Repentance is the gate to the kingdom of God. The Greek word for repent is the word metanoia. Many of you know this, but it's important. It's a fundamental truth that we must understand. The word metanoia is used 34 times in the New Testament. The word metanoia, which is slightly different, means repentance instead of repent, is used 24 times. So in other words, the word metanoia is used 58 times in the New Testament. I think it's important. And Jesus is one who used it many times. It is a compound of two words. It's a compound Greek word. So it's a word that actually has two expressions or two meanings. The first part is meta, which means to turn. The second part is noeo, which means the mind. So true repentance is turning the mind. True repentance is turning the mind. In other words, to change one's mind. A complete conversion. True turning away is the way to access and operate the kingdom of heaven. As I've already said, guys, what needs to take place is when you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, when you get saved, immediately the first thing we do is we repent. Amen. And there's a complete turning away from the world. We turn away. So let's say this is my life. I'm walking in this direction. Now I give my life to Jesus. I turn away from that life. That's true repentance. Now, here's the interesting thing. Don't think that on your journey as a believer that you are not going to make mistakes and continue to sin. You will sin. You sinner, you. I sin. I don't want to. Paul didn't want to when he says, I do the things I don't want to do, and the things I don't want to do, I do. So he didn't always do what he wanted, but his heart was right. Be key. Amen. So we see, in your journey as a believer, you will continue to walk in repentance. So watch. Let me demonstrate it for you. So I'm a believer and I'm running my race. If I do something wrong, if I make a mistake, what I need to do is immediately turn away from it and continue running my race. Not to stay in it. Not to dwell in it, not to allow it to consume me, not to allow it to defeat me, not to allow it to get the better of me. Amen. Repentance becomes a lifestyle. Now, what I want to show you is how I know this is so important. Jesus taught his disciples to pray. When his disciples came to him and they said to him, Lord, teach us to pray. This is what he said to them. In Luke 11, verse 2 to 4, Jesus was not asked many things directly like this by his disciples, but they asked him to teach them to pray. Now, I've done a whole series on prayer, but I want you to pay attention to the actual prayer that he gives us. So he said to them, when you pray, say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Now watch, here comes the kingdom. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our sins. Lord, teach us how to pray always, whenever we live. We already believe, but now teach us how to pray. In other words, when you pray, even now, you need to still pray in this manner. So in other words, Jesus knew that you would still sin. He knew that his disciples would still sin, that we would still make mistakes. Don't focus on that. Focus on moving on. Amen. It says, forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. There's a key there, a great key. In other words, when we ask for forgiveness, we also need to forgive. Many people, even sitting here this morning, are stuck in bondage and you don't understand why. And the reason why you are stuck is because you have not yet forgiven. If you do not forgive, you will not be forgiven. You will be consumed by that sin. It will overtake you. It can have a destructive effect in your life, like the likes of which you cannot imagine. The key to walking this Christian life is to keep your heart right. Keep your heart pure. Keep your heart clean. Someone said to me, how do I know? You know. If I say to you, is there anything in your heart that isn't right? Immediately you'll know. Because something will come up. If nothing comes up and your heart is pure, your heart is clean. Listen, not perfect, but there's no issues in your heart. you'll feel nothing. There'll be nothing that'll come up. Is that okay? So we understand the fact that true repentance is a turning away, a complete turning away. Now, there's a difference between sorrow and repentance. We'll get to that in just a minute. Amen. But before we do that, I just want to touch a little bit more on the kingdom. You see, the Bible says you cannot serve two masters. In Matthew 6:24, it says this: no one can serve two masters, for he will hate one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot be in a kingdom, part of the kingdom of God, and be divided. Listen, let's take a look at this, and then I'm going to explain it to you in just a minute. Mark 3, verse 24. If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house cannot stand. So we understand that in order for us to operate in the kingdom, we need to be one-minded, not double-minded. We cannot be serving two gods, because a kingdom that is divided against itself will not be able to stand. A house divided against itself will not be able to stand. You represent both. You have the kingdom living inside you, and you also have a house. Both will fall apart if you are walking double-minded. In other words, you can only serve one master. When you mess up, turn away. Amen. Don't beat yourself up forever and ever. Turn away. We'll talk about the heart, because that's what it's all about a little bit later on. But what I need to explain to you is, get the picture, guys. The kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God is what it's all about. In other words, when we get saved, we become citizens of the kingdom of God, or the kingdom of heaven. What we need to realize is that when that happens, everything changes. Our entire reality, we are no longer citizens of this world. We are still in the world, but we are now citizens of the kingdom. Okay. But we can't have one foot in the one and one foot in the other. That's why repentance is so important. Because if you continue to be in the body, you will still make mistakes. And turning away from that is so important, so that you remain intact, operating in the kingdom. Does that make sense? Now, why is it so important? Why did Jesus come and preach this message? Why did John the Baptist come and preach this message? And why is this important for right now? The first thing we need to see is that Jesus said this. Matthew 4:17. I've given you the verse, but I want to just read the second part. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. John the Baptist said the same thing. Now let's look at this. What does heaven look like? Heaven is a place where there is no tears. Heaven is a place where there is no sickness. Heaven is a place where the presence of God is. Heaven is a place with a relationship and intimacy where you can go. Can you imagine? Imagine being in heaven right now. And in heaven, you see God. His presence is there. Healing is there. Depression goes. Sorrow goes. Pain goes. Everything you need is in the presence of God in heaven. Amen. Now, what did Jesus say when he taught us how to pray? He said this. He said, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth. On earth. You see, so many of us, when we get saved, our focus is, let's make it to heaven. But Jesus is saying that not only do I want you to make it to heaven, I want you to bring heaven down here. Now, Jesus and John make the statement, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent. Why? Because the way to the kingdom is repentance. So once you begin to cry out to God, once you make a decision to get serious with Him and turn away from those things that are hindering you, then all of a sudden you have access. The kingdom is at hand. Now watch. Amen. I just love Jesus. Luke 17:21, this is what he says. He was asked, where is the kingdom, by the Pharisees? And he makes a statement. He says, nor will they say, see here or see there. For indeed the kingdom of God is within you. First he says, the kingdom is at hand. In other words, it's right here. At hand means I can reach it. Repent, for it's at hand. Why? So that you can access it. Amen. Then he makes a statement and he says, the kingdom is within you. What happens when you get saved? The Holy Spirit comes and lives where? Thank the Lord, we all know that. Amen. The Holy Spirit comes and lives inside. Now the kingdom is active on the inside of you. Oh. Then Jesus makes a statement. Actually, no, it's not Jesus, it's Paul. He makes a statement in Corinthians. He says, the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. In other words, listen, once the kingdom is active on the inside of you, you need to go a little further. You need to encounter the presence, the manifest presence of the kingdom of God, which is the presence of the Holy Spirit. When you encounter him, when he comes upon you, then you step into a realm of power. It's at hand. Repentance. Right? It's within. Salvation. And power describes the next phase that so many of us don't walk in. Because Jesus has always desired for his people to live in a supernatural way. Look at the children of Israel. When they came into the wilderness, they were provided for supernaturally. You don't hear about sickness. You don't hear about stuff going wrong. Why? Because the glory was with them. You have access to this glory. If you don't believe it, go read your Bible. You don't believe it because you've been taught wrong. The biggest problem with the church, not all the church, some of the church, is that we don't have faith. Repentance and faith go hand in hand. Once we turn from our sin, we have to turn towards the kingdom. We have to turn towards Jesus. We begin to serve him. We begin to seek after him. He comes and lives inside of us. Then once he lives inside of us, he begins to transform us. He begins to change us. Repentance becomes normal to us. Because if I'm going on my journey and I make a mistake, I turn away from it. I move on. I keep going. I keep going. I turn away from it. I don't keep staying in it. I don't dwell in it. Amen. Why? Because I desire to walk in the kingdom. I desire to display the power of the kingdom. I want to lay hands on the sick. I want to prophesy. I want to speak life. I want to give life. I want to be used by him to display his kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven. That's what Jesus came and taught. Why don't we see it in the church? Now watch. Jesus makes a profound statement in Matthew 11, verse 16. But what shall I liken this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplace and calling to their companions and saying, we played the flute for you and you did not dance. We mourned to you and you did not lament. For John came neither eating nor drinking. And they say he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking. And they say, look, a glutton and a winebibber, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. But wisdom is justified by her children. Oh, I can preach a whole sermon there. Then he began to rebuke the cities in which most of his mighty works had been done. Why? Because they did not repent. The church has access to the power and the demonstration of the kingdom of God. We have access to it. But because we now believe, for some unforeseen reason, has been convinced by the naysayers, and I don't even want to go there, that repentance is no longer necessary. Listen, without repentance, the power will no longer manifest. Jesus gets frustrated with this generation. Why? Because in that generation, he showed mighty signs and wonders, but they chose to still not repent. Listen, guys, don't get used to the power of God. Don't become familiar when God moves in your midst. I've seen when I pray for someone, they get healed from some major disease, and the church sits there like nothing's happening. We sit there, we don't celebrate it, we don't rejoice in it, because we become familiar with the presence and the power of God. Don't become familiar with it. Desire it. Heaven on earth as it is in heaven. The kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Not only for when you die, but for while you live on this earth. Now let me give you two examples of repentance or forms of repentance. And we see the one follow it correctly and the one fall very short. Let's go to Matthew 27, verse number 3. Are you guys all okay? Amen. Matthew 27, verse number 3. We all know that Judas gave Jesus up to the Pharisees. Most scholars will tell you it's because he wanted to correct Jesus, not because he wanted Jesus to die. So we know that. We know that his intentions were never to have Jesus die, but rather to correct him. We see Judas do many things where he tries to correct Jesus. Eventually he thought if he goes to the religious leaders, they will correct him. Amen. So when Jesus gets arrested to be killed, Judas gets very upset. Watch. In Matthew 27, verse number 3, it says, then Judas, his betrayer, seeing that he had been condemned, was remorseful. In many translations, that word remorseful is the word repent. So we see him become remorseful and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned by betraying innocent blood. And they said, what is this to us? You see to it. Then they threw down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. And he went and hanged himself. The word remorse is the word metamelomai. And it means remorse, regret. Now watch, because this is what it means. Remorse, regret, to feel, there's the key, repentant. To feel repentant. So in other words, feeling remorseful or feeling repentant is not true repentance in itself. Because true repentance means that when you see what you've done, you turn away from it. Remorse does not mean you turn away from it. Right? It means you feel repentant. It's in your feelings. But you see, true repentance is not only feelings, it's a state of condition. You make a decision to turn away from it. They said, don't teach repentance. Yes, I think I've been teaching it for like 4 weeks. Amen. Amen. It gives us an idea, the word remorse there. Gives us an idea of a person who has been gripped with remorse, but the remorse or the emotion does not produce the change. It can also give a picture of someone who's been caught, so they show remorse, but they don't truly change in their heart. Now, don't for one second think I'm suggesting that if you do sin, you won't feel sad and want to cry and stuff like that. That's all part of it. Amen. There's nothing wrong with that. As long as all of that produces change. Because if it doesn't produce change, you haven't truly repented. It's very quiet. Listen, guys, this is the Bible. It's not me. Amen. I need another amen, a little bit louder. Come on. Now, let's take a look at another character in the same story. Watch this now. Luke 22, verse 55. Now, when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat among them. Now, Jesus told Peter that before he gets crucified, before the rooster crows three times, you will deny me. And Peter says, there's no chance I'll deny you. Now, watch. Peter sat among them. In verse 56, a certain slave girl, seeing him as he sat by the fire, looked intently at him and said, "This man was also with him." But he denied him, saying, "Woman, I do not know him." And after a while, another saw him and said, "You also are of them." But Peter said, "Man, I am not." Then after about an hour, he passed. Another confidently affirmed, saying, "Surely this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean." But Peter said, "Man, I do not know what you are saying." Immediately while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. And then the Lord turned and looked at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word of the Lord. How he had said to him, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." So watch, Peter went out and wept bitterly. But here's the difference. The one leads to death, the one leads to trouble, the other leads to life. When you truly repent, when you make a decision to turn from it, to not believe what's happened and to become serious about what you're doing with the Lord, when you make a decision to truly turn away from it, it will lead you to life. Whereas sorrow leads you to looking at yourself. Let's take a look at this. Watch. One more story real quick. We all know the story of King Saul. King Saul gets told by the prophet, God tells him to kill the Amalekites and to utterly destroy them, every single one of them. But Saul decides to not listen 100%. He decides to spare the king and keep a bit of the stuff for himself. Why? So that he can please the people. 1 Samuel 15 verse 24 says this, "Then Saul said to Samuel, 'I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and your words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice.'" You see, he was more worried about what the people would think. And even in his confession over here, he's still not truly remorseful. And we'll see it in verse number 30 in just a minute. We'll see it. See, because true repentance causes a change of heart. But if he was truly repentant, because he says, "I need to repent over here." But if you go to verse number 30, let's look at it. Watch what he says. "Then he said, 'I have sinned, yet honor me now, please, before the elders of my people and before Israel, and return with me, that I may worship the Lord your God.'" You see, he was caught out, and again we see not true repentance, because he's more interested in what the people are going to think of him. And again, he's saying, "Honor me in front of the people," because he's worried about what the people will think of him. The reality is that when we truly repent, the other side of this is we see David. When David is caught out with Bathsheba, and it's bad sin. I mean, it's worse than Saul, I think. Not his heart, but his sin. And we see in Psalm 51, verse 16, in the NLT version, guys. In the NLT version, we see how when David is caught out, watch the way he speaks. Psalm 51, verse 16 in the NLT. "You do not desire a sacrifice, or I would offer one. You do not want a burnt offering. A sacrifice you desire is a broken spirit. You will not reject a broken and repentant heart, O God." Listen, when we go to God on our journey, and guys, you will mess up. And there will be times you'll make the same mistake. And when you do, don't stay in it. Go to God. Be broken before Him. Allow Him to transform you. Allow Him to renew your mind. Be strengthened. Turn away from that sin and carry on going. Don't stay in that place. Move on. Because that's the enemy's happy place. A Christian who's all condemned and can't see past his sin because his sin has consumed him and he can't see destiny and purpose. Repentance must bring a desire for more life, for more transformation, for getting closer to God. Amen. Amen. So we see throughout Scripture, and we see in the New Testament without a shadow of a doubt, that it is our duty to continue to walk it out. Why? Because we desire to see Him. We desire to draw close to Him. I taught you last week on the knowledge of the Lord. desiring to have the knowledge of the Lord. In other words, desiring to get close to Him, desiring to know His ways, desiring to seek His face so that you can get intimate with Him. And when you desire to get intimate with Him and know His ways and know His statutes and know His goodness and His mercy and His kindness, sin becomes a thing that kind of fizzles away and you don't even think about sin. And if the presence of sin is there, you just want to turn away from it because your desire is to get closer and closer to the Lord, because you desire His presence. You desire to get close to Him. Listen, when you have a heart like that, watch what the Word says. In Romans 2, verse number 4. And here's the key. Here's the key. Because as soon as you start preaching repentance, you can feel the hearts of the people feeling guilty because of their sin. Watch this now. Listen, I sin too. I don't sin as bad as you, but I sin too. Amen. I'll take that amen, brother. Romans 2, verse number 4. Now watch. Or do you despise the riches, watch here, of His goodness, forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing, watch, that the goodness of God leads you to repentance. Guys, there's the secret. It's His goodness. It's His ways. It's His character. It's His love. It's the fruit of the Spirit describes His very nature. When you start to understand that peace, when you start to understand that love, listen, Pastor Mark preached something last week out of Isaiah 6, and he said that when you get revealed who God is. So in other words, Isaiah is busy praying. He's in the presence of God. And he says this. He says, God, You are holy. You are holy. And in the presence of revelation and understanding that God truly is holy, in that presence, immediately he recognizes that he's a man of unclean lips. That's why when you begin to recognize the goodness of God, when you begin to recognize that He's holy, when you begin to recognize that He's loving, when you begin to recognize that He's forgiving, then revelation will come to you and you will begin to understand who He is. That's why the goodness of the Lord leads to repentance, because He is all of those things. But you need to desire to seek after it. Where we get stuck is when we mess up. Because the preacher stands on the stage with a rod wanting to hit you. No, I don't. I want to take you and pick you up and take you as far away from that sin as possible. I don't want you to look at it anymore. Because you see, transformation takes place in the face of Jesus Christ. When you behold the image of the one true Son. The goodness of God, the kindness of God, the mercy of God, the love of God. When you behold Him, when you seek Him, when you long for Him, when you desire Him, then it leads to repentance. Yes, it starts. Amen. Let's give the Lord a clap. Amen. Let's just pray. Father, we thank You. Oh, Father, we thank You for Your goodness, for Your mercy, for Your love. For You surely are a good God. You're a kind God. You're a merciful God. You're a loving God. You're a holy God. You're a healing God. You're a delivering God. You're a miracle-working God. But Father, more than any of those things, and all of them encompass who You truly are, Jesus said it so beautifully. Love. The greatest commandment is love. And Father, You love Your children so much that You gave Your life for them. You sent Your one and only Son and gave Your life so that we could have eternal life. But Father, this journey, this walk of Christianity, this walking with You is so much more than a belief system. It is all about relationship. And Father, we know that the enemy comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy. that He has a desire to take us out of relationship with You. He has a desire to hide the secrets and the hidden things from the wise, even from us who should be walking in it. And so, Father, I pray this morning that You will open our eyes that we might see, and our ears that we might hear, Father, for surely the word of the Lord has gone out this morning. And we are moving into a season right now where the church will once again walk in power and in demonstration of Your power and Your love. For surely the two go hand in hand. Surely the two go hand in hand. Even when Paul said, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts for the pure purpose of demonstrating your heart. For your heart wants to heal. Your heart wants to deliver. Your heart wants to bless. Because You love us. Father, let us not be a church. Let us not be a people that just know about You. But I pray, Father, that You would reveal Your goodness to each and every one of these precious people sitting here this morning. Father, when we face sin, when we make mistakes, when we say things, do things, think things that we shouldn't, that we will turn quickly away from it and continue to move forward, not backwards, to finish the race that we've started. Father, I pray this morning that if there be anyone here or anyone watching online, that they will realize that there's no kingdom on earth for them unless they know Jesus Christ, unless they've given their life to You. But when we give our lives to You, all things pass away. Our sin is removed from us. It's taken away from us. It's like it never was. And so I pray, Father, right now that if there be anyone in this place that does not know You, that they will come to know You this morning because You love them so much. You have a plan for them, a destiny for them, a purpose for them. Anyone watching online, the same thing, Father. If you've come into this place this morning and you say, Pastor Alex, I need to give my life to Jesus. I also want to step into the kingdom. I know it's at hand, but I want to take it. If that's you and you say, I need to give my heart to Him, please slip your hand up real quick so I can pray for you. God bless you. Anybody else? Say, Pastor, pray for me as well. I need to commit my life to Jesus and I'll pray for you as well. If there's anybody that's come here that says, Pastor, I need to make my life right with God today. God bless you. So anybody else say, I need to make my life right. God bless you, ma'am. Anybody else? God bless you. Thank you so much. You can put your hand down, sir. Online as well. If there's anybody there that says, I need to turn this morning. I need to come back to Him. I need to finish this race strong. I'll include you in this prayer. Just lift your hand up real quick. God bless you, ma'am. You can put your hand down. Thank you. God bless you, sir. Thank you. Anybody else say, Pastor, include me in this prayer. And I'll pray for you. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you, sir. Thank you so much. Can I ask you all to stand for just a moment? When He reveals Himself to us in an expression of what He is, then we turn from whatever it is that He's expressed Himself. In other words, if God shows Himself as holy to you, then you don't want to sin. If He shows Himself as healing to you, then healing is present. Can you say amen, guys? We are about to step into the most exciting church age this planet has ever seen, I can assure you. Get ready, watch, you'll see. Now for every person that lifted their hand, can we pray this prayer together? In fact, can the whole church just pray this with these precious people that lifted their hands this morning? Let's all pray. Father, I come to You today and I give my life to You. I give my heart to You. I believe that Jesus died and rose again and is the Son of God. Write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Forgive me for my sins. I turn from them now. Make me a new creation. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. So, Father, now I pray for every person that lifted their hand this morning. Holy Spirit, that You would encounter them in a special way. that you would reveal your goodness, your mercy, and your love to them. For surely it is your goodness that leads to repentance. And so I love you. We love you so much, Lord. Your presence is here this morning, and we are so thankful. Father, I pray that you will take us as a people. We will not focus on our sins and our weaknesses, but we'll focus on your goodness. And as we focus on your goodness, the things of this world will begin to grow strangely dim. And Father, I pray that you will bless every person that's here as they leave today. I pray that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that the love of the Father, and the communion with the Spirit be with you all as you go. Know that his peace and his favor and his blessing is upon you. In the name that is above every other name, the name of Jesus the Christ.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more teaching like this and other material, please visit our website at www.oceansunite.com.